I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Adam Moore. Adam's a community developer here in Waco, and he's preparing to host his second confessional storytelling event called Analog later this month at Pinewood Roasters. But before that conversation, let's figure out what's happening here with commercial real estate expert Greg Glime. I'm now joined in studio by Greg Glime for our monthly segment, What's Happening Here? Greg, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Good to be back.
Got an email from a listener named Bill in Duluth, Minnesota. Bill says, I visited Waco with my wife a couple months ago. I'm a restaurateur here in Minnesota, and we actually loved it so much, we're interested in moving back. What kind of suggestions would you have for someone looking to open a restaurant in Waco? So, Greg, tell us what's happening in the Waco restaurant scene. Are there any vacancies where someone might be able to open up a shop?
Yeah, there's limited vacancies. I'll tell you, just from when I got to Waco in 2006 and came to college here, we had Outback Steakhouse and Texas Roadhouse. That was about it. And we've seen a lot of big national restaurants coming into the market. Right now, there's only a few, and it's always pretty hard to find what I'd call a second-generation restaurant space that's already fit out to have a commercial kitchen in there, one being Manny's on the River. You know, there's one, it sounds like the Tesla's on Washington is coming available soon. So they always seem to go pretty quick when a restaurateur can find one that's already been built out, because there's significant savings when that happens.
But you would think that particularly the Manny's on the River space, you would think that would have gone at some point in the last couple of years, because it is so hard to find finished out restaurant space. What's the story behind that? Why is it still vacant?
It is, and that building's move-in ready. It's a fantastic location, being on the river there. I've worked on it with a couple different restaurateurs here over the last year and a half, and the parking's difficult. It's a destination restaurant. The parking ratio to the building and then the patio seating that's on there, it's difficult. And in my experience, it's been tough for these restaurant guys to sign off on the site, given the limited parking that it has and not being around anything else for overflow parking.
Well, if jumping into a huge finished out space is a bit above somebody's budget, there are other alternatives for people who maybe want to have a food truck or a container.
That's right. Yeah, we're starting to see that trend become more popular now. I think the Containery downtown offers smaller retail space that allows a commissary kitchen. You know, the Turner Behringer, those guys have something coming in on 8th Street that has a lot of kitchen space.
That's the food hall, Union Hall that they're
working
right.
on. That's right. It sounds like there's a Route 77 coming on LaSalle.
Yeah, Greg, you're right. This is a totally new idea that's come about from an entrepreneur named David Mercer. Route 77 food truck park. It'll be there at 15th and LaSalle. They're looking to have a bunch of five to six food trucks that are on monthly leases that are surrounding this really great area where you can play games and have a climate-controlled spot where you can go and drink craft beer. So this is just pushing this outdoor culture of Waco even further. People want to be on a patio drinking a margarita somewhere.
And it's something we haven't had an option of here lately. So I'm excited. I'm excited for those type of concepts. It's new to Waco, but I'm excited to start getting more of these here.
And something very similar to this is the Containery that you're listing over there on 4th Street. I've seen a lot of activity there. Where are you guys right now?
I think there's 12 containers set. They got the basement finished out, and containers are going to start coming in groups of half a dozen to a dozen containers every couple weeks now as they assemble them and put them together. So it's going to be exciting watching that project come together.
Well, Bill, all the way from Duluth, Minnesota, whether it's at the former Manny's spot, Route 77 Food Truck Park, or downtown at the Containery, there are spaces large and small for someone looking to get into the restaurant game in Waco. Greg Glime for What's Happening Here, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep, thank you.
I'm now joined in studio by Austin Hooper for the Residential Recap, where our residential real estate expert comes in monthly to tell us what's happening in the markets. Austin, last time you were on the show, you mentioned that there was a breath in the market, sort of a pause in the sales. Has that breath exhaled and now inhaled again?
Yeah, I think we are sort of out of the, school has just started. People are getting back into their normal rhythms of life. That's, it's normal to kind of see the market take a breath early September or so. So, yeah, I think just anecdotally for myself and talking to lenders and insurance agents and everyone involved with the home buying process, feel like we're things are getting, you know, starting to churn a little better again. I put a house on the market last week and it went under contract the next day.
Wow.
So that was an encouraging sign. You don't quite know, you know, sort of on that tail end of, you know, are people ready to start getting back out on the house hunt again? Weather hasn't been fantastic, but I think we're, you know, getting back into a normal rhythm.
One thing I really appreciate about you coming on Downtown Depot is that you are starting to demystify the home buying process for a lot of our listeners. So you talked about the importance of getting together with an agent who you trust. A little hidden fee, something that people don't always take into account, is property taxes that will be assessed on their home. I've seen a lot of people complaining about rising property taxes in Waco, feeling like what the assessor says is out of whack with what their home is actually worth. Mm-hmm. What's your response to those people?
Yeah, well, as we talked about a couple months ago, home values today versus 5 years ago are about 30% on average higher across McLennan County. So if you haven't taken a look at what your home may be worth in that time period, maybe you bought your house 5 years or more further back than that, yeah, you look at the assessed value on your home and it could be a huge shock to you. I've had lots of friends and previous clients reach out recently, you know, as their tax bills comes out and, you know, you kind of get that sticker shock and they say, hey, they've got my house valued at, you know, 175. What the heck? I paid 150 for it. And I'll, you know, take a look at some comps and say, well, I could list your house tomorrow for 205. So, you know, it's not fun to see your tax bill go up, but it is a reflection of what's happening in the market. And, you know, that's a positive thing. It also hurts a little bit when the tax bill comes around, but that's what we're looking at.
So Wacoans, it's likely that your house is valuable more than you even imagine.
For most folks, probably so, yes.
Well, if you are looking to list that house and finally make some money, Austin Hooper is just one of the many certified and high integrity and work their butt off for you real estate agents that we have here in Waco. We got a lot of great people who
Absolutely.
Are in this real estate industry.
Absolutely.
And Austin, we thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot and giving us a recap of where the residential market is in Waco this month.
Absolutely. And quick tip, as we're turning over into fall weather, make sure you get your HVAC serviced. Go clean out your gutters, all those sort of annual maintenance things. It's a good time to start doing that. Make sure you're taking care of your home.
The Residential Recap with Austin Hooper. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Leadership Waco is the year-long training course I'm participating in that's run by the Waco Chamber. And this month, my classmates and I zoomed in on the city's nonprofit sector. I was stunned to learn how many diverse organizations exist to improve outcomes in McLennan County. Young children born into trauma can find guidance at the Talitha Kum Institute. Homeless teens in need of a shower can hose off and get dinner at the Cove. Elderly folks with no family to rely on seek stability at Friends for Life. Even dogs and cats get treated like royalty at the Central Texas Humane Society, where the shelter maintained its no-kill status with a 93% live exit rate in the month of September. Nick Brown spends his days as the plumbing and piping manager for Capstone Mechanical, but when he's not on the job, you can find him instructing young athletes at his local gym. That's how he gives back to the community, something he didn't think he was capable of in the past.
I know, looking back 10 years ago before I started getting involved, I thought, I'm not qualified, I don't know what I'm doing, but really, I mean, everybody's qualified, and so if you're not involved in some kind of nonprofit organization of some way, shape, or form, find something to get involved. Find your passion and use that as an avenue to get involved.
Magnolia Market Frontline's training manager, Jordy Barksdale, volunteers through LEAD, the Waco Chamber's Leadership, Education, and Development Program for high schoolers. Twice a month, Jordy mentors his students from Waco High, seniors at the school looking for professional guidance about next steps. Though his schedule's jam-packed with Magnolia Madness, carving out a couple hours for his mentees is one of the best things he does every month.
For all the organizations that we've been to today, there is such need. No one's questioning that. I just don't want any of us to ever be in the business of saying that we're too busy to help, right? The B word is not going to help the city very well.
Benji Gomez, an agent at New York Life, called upon his Leadership Waco classmates not only to step up themselves, but to bring others along.
We're going to be the upcoming leaders, and I think that at this point in time when we've noticed all of these capacities that we can get involved in, I think that that's a really big call to action to say, find your passion, get involved, get heavily involved in what you want, and then try to make an impact in that organization, and then try to get others to do the same thing.
There are over 400 nonprofit organizations serving McLennan County. As we enter the holiday season, I urge you, please, be mindful of ways in which you might help out. I'm now joined in studio by Adam Moore. Adam, in addition to being Assistant Director of Student and Alumni Initiatives at Baylor, runs Lost in Waco, this Instagram account that documents Waco's culture from the seat of his bike, and also has recently founded Analog, an experiment in confessional storytelling that will be happening later this month at Pinewood Roasters. Adam, welcome to Downtown Depot.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Tell me a little bit about your Waco history, Adam.
Yeah. So I have I've been in Waco now for most of the past 20 years. Came initially to come to Baylor in 1998, and have stuck around. Work at Baylor now. Work in the Baylor Interdisciplinary Corps, which is part of the Honors College at Baylor, and just glad to be here in Waco.
And you like riding a bicycle?
I do. Yeah. So. So I work at Baylor, but it's been important to me over the years to be a part of kind of creative projects outside of work. And so one of those started with a bicycle. You know, I stole my dad's old kind of classic road bike out of his garage that he hadn't used in 20 years, and I just started riding it around Waco.
I saw that on your bio on the Baylor website, one of the courses that you teach is Examine Life 1.
Yeah.
Is that something that you do from the seat of your bicycle? And how can we all be more examinatory, if that's a word, of our own lives?
Yeah, it's funny because when I've told friends of mine that I teach a class called Examine Life, they laugh because it's pretty appropriate for me. I think my posture toward the world is very much as an examined life. And so, you know, as I started riding this bike around Waco, it just was kind of natural to look at the world around me and to think about what these places I was passing by meant and who was there, and to examine my place in Waco in light of the neighborhoods I was riding through that I maybe hadn't been in before. And so, yeah, certainly it's actually caused me to examine my own life in a lot of different ways.
Before buying a home and moving into Dean Highland, Julia and I lived downtown in Waco and would always walk around town. And I remember seeing all these empty parking lots. And initially, I'm thinking, these people are so dumb. They don't understand urbanism. Why do we have parking lots? This is bad for retail. But as I examined the history of Waco, and I started to understand that, well, yeah, there used to be a two-story Goldstein and Miguel's there, mm-hmm. Or whatever it might have been, and the tornado came and ran this through, you realize that wherever you're walking, there's just a rich history there. And there is so much to examine in the environment around you if you're willing to pause and look at it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I kind of my goal as I started riding my bike around town was just to go into areas where I hadn't been before. You know, I had lived in Waco for 15 years plus, but I knew that, you know, like most of us, I think we kind of have our typical roads that we drive down, and we don't necessarily venture beyond kind of the normal places where we go to and from. And so as I just started going places I had never been before, you know, it taught me a lot about what Waco has been and what we are now. And it challenged me to think about, you know, what my place is in this community. It just gave me a much broader perspective on the place where we live, you know, in ways that I just hadn't really thought about before, because I might have just driven my car by neighborhoods or by buildings, and never really thought about what was on the other side of that road. But when you ride your bike through that neighborhood or through that old area of town, it just changes your perspective.
Ashley Thornton from Act Locally Waco talks about that all the time because she walks.
Right, right.
And you pick up things that you would not normally see if you were speeding by at 40 miles an hour.
Yep.
What did you think Waco was before you began the Lost in Waco project? And how has your vision evolved?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. I know that I was, you know, over the years since I've been in Waco, I've become kind of increasingly committed to this place, and seeing myself more and more as a part of this community. But there was just something about riding everywhere through Waco and seeing the people out fixing their cars, walking their dogs, playing with their children, just doing all the things that we all do, but in all the different neighborhoods of our city. And it just really helped me to feel this greater sense of connection to this place and gave me a better understanding of just the broad range of diversity that exists here in Waco and just the beauty that is here in Waco in so many different ways. And I just, it has made Waco just feel more of a home to me than ever before, and has really made me feel more committed to this place and wanting to really contribute to it in ways that I hadn't felt before.
What are some of your favorite previously undiscovered spots in Waco?
Yeah. So my favorite probably that I love to talk about, that everybody hears me talk about, is the mural. There's a mural in East Waco that is, I believe it is at the corner, Taylor and Cherry Streets, I believe. I think that's right. It's not far from Brotherwell Brewing. And it's this wonderful mural on the side of what is now an empty building. And it's a scene of it's a table scene in particular. That's kind of the prominent part of the scene, is African American community gathered around a table for a meal. And it's an Ira Watkins mural. And I would call it probably like a kind of folk art. And I just think it's an incredible piece of Waco culture, and speaks to our history and the culture here in Waco and in that place in East Waco in particular.
And Ira Watkins is the same artist who did the MLK mural down there by the river.
Right, right.
It really is interesting as you go about on a bike and you're picking up on new things, you're talking to people that ordinarily you would have just driven by. And that creates in you all of this fertile knowledge that you can share with other people. That helps build the story of Waco and build the culture of Waco. What you've been doing with this new project called Analog, I think, ties into that a lot, where mm-hmm. you recognize there's, what, maybe 250,000 people who live in Waco area, and each one of them has a totally unique story and history about what this city is. Analog has channeled some of those stories and puts it into a confessional storytelling form at a quarterly event.
Yeah, I think they are very much connected, Analog and Lost in Waco. I think I'm really interested in human connection, and obviously I find value in forms like Instagram. That's something that I found a lot of value in. But I think there's something that you that you can't get in any other way when you look across the room or the table or wherever from somebody else and look into their eyes and tell a story. And so the idea behind Analog really was to open up a space for this more confessional storytelling, where the idea is not about performance so much, but more about this vulnerability and just being willing to share things you might not typically share in a public space like that.
Well, there was one event that happened at Pinewood Roasters a few months ago, and there's a new one that's happening on October 27th. But for someone who wasn't able to attend the first event, explain a little bit what happens and what exactly does confessional storytelling mean?
Yeah. So basically, for each event, we have a theme. And so for our first event, the theme actually was Lost in Waco, which clearly shows the connection there. And so we just invited, we personally invited about, it was four or five different people, I can't remember, who we asked just to tell a story, a personal true story from their life that somehow related to that theme of Lost in Waco. And we didn't dictate anything else beyond that. They didn't tell us what they were going to say. We like to say this is an experiment in confessional storytelling because really we don't know what's going to happen when we all get together and those people step up on the stage and begin to tell their stories. But they did, and they shared some really personal moments of vulnerability and authenticity. And then we also open up opportunities for anybody who's come to share their own stories as well. And at our first event, I was really blown away by the number of people who kept coming up and sharing their stories. And, you know, we could have kept going and going, I think. And I think it really just spoke to this desire for that kind of sense of human connection around shared experience.
Waco needs more platforms. There are so many people in Waco who want to have a voice or have a musical talent or a storytelling ability, and there simply aren't enough places for that to happen. So grateful to Pinewood Roasters that you're able to
absolutely
partner with them and for them to be gracious enough to open up their doors. You're hearing from Adam Moore from Baylor University, Lost in Waco, Analog. He is a serial community hunter. He's always on the look for finding ways to connect with people in new ways. And you're kind of, I hope it's okay if I bring this up, you're kind of batting around a new idea, right?
Yeah. So, you know, there's always some idea in my mind that I'm kind of starting to pursue. And the latest one that I'm starting to work on is I'm interested in putting together a print publication in Waco that's really probably would be a quarterly publication that would be centered on kind of the arts and culture and community. And so those are the themes I'm looking at centering it around, but really looking broadly at those areas and highlighting some of the culture that is happening in Waco, but also that the publication itself would be an artifact, a product of this culture. So this would be something that that Waco could really be really proud of as a product of what's happening in the creative culture of Waco. And so it would be very visually based and creative in its content and style. So that's what I'm kind of throwing around right now and beginning to talk to people about, and really would love if there are people out there who would be interested in collaborating on this, because it's something I see as a very collaborative project. If you're a designer or a photographer or a writer, or you just think this is an idea that you would want to get behind, you know, get in touch with me. I'd love to hear from you. You can just reach out to me over email. You can email me at adam.waco@gmail.com. I'd love to get you involved in this latest project.
Another platform where people can share their stories.
Yeah.
you, I would consider, as an investigator of Waco culture, have a pretty good read on where we've been and where we're headed. As Waco continues to grow, it's interesting to see the friction that comes about from that growth, because you have some people like me who are fired up about food trucks in front of restaurants and big events that close down streets. You have another contingent, what I would kind of consider old Waco, that wants Waco to be the same. They moved to Waco because it was a city without traffic. They moved to Waco because it was a city where they didn't have to go to a restaurant and wait. And their vision of Waco is just as valid as my vision. As someone who has spent a lot of time assessing the culture of this city, where would you say we're headed?
Yeah. Well, it's something I definitely think about. Something I think about as I ride my bike around town. Because if I just drive my car around to the places I enjoy going, like places downtown or Pinewood or Baylor or wherever, food trucks, these are some of the really cool things that weren't here 20 years ago when I first came to Waco. And I love all of this that's happening in Waco. But when I ride my bike kind of beyond these areas, I'm reminded that, you know, we need to be thinking about the broader community of Waco and how everything that is happening in Waco right now affects the whole. And is this a prosperity that is for everybody or for a few? And so these are things that I'm really glad that many people are thinking about right now. My hope is that that this can be a shared prosperity, and that the really great things that are happening in Waco right now can be have a positive impact on the broader Waco, and not just the Waco that we see when we drive to our favorite spots around town.
And how can we, as Downtown Depot listeners, as Wacoans, make sure that that prosperity is shared and that we're all moving forward together as a culture as one?
Yeah, so I think that's a good question. And, you know, for me, I can really just speak from my own experience and say that for me, what has been helpful is just getting outside of my own normal routines and comfort zone to be a part of communities in Waco that I wouldn't have normally been a part of, talking to people who I wouldn't have normally talked to, becoming friends with people I wouldn't have normally had the opportunity to know, so that we aren't kind of just stuck in our own little bubbles, and that we get to know a broader range of people in our city. And if we have these conversations with more than just our own friends, then we begin to see how the changes in Waco are affecting everybody and how they can affect people, hopefully, for the better. And so that's, you know, hopefully with Analog, you know, as we have different topics over different events, my hope is that it becomes a more diverse discussion and conversation, and that it does begin to draw on more of the broader community of Waco, because we need spaces where those kinds of conversations can happen.
Well, if you do want to get out of your routine and comfort zone, Saturday, October 27th at Pinewood Roasters will be the next Analog event. You can see Adam there and share a little bit of your own Waco story. Adam, thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot.
Thank you so much, Austin.
Thanks again to Adam Moore, Greg Gleim, Austin Hooper, my Leadership Waco cohort, and you for tuning into Downtown Depot this week. If you want to stay informed in between episodes here on KWBU, find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Waco Business News. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.